Trump is going to stand up to Netanyahu's bombing in Gaza. Stand up really to Smotrich and Ben-Gvir, who are pushing Netanyahu to continue this. And I really hope that he will. And the Congress can say we don't want to continue to fund it.
Thank you very much for joining us. Congressmember Ro Khanna, Democratic congressmember from Silicon Valley in California, introduced a bipartisan Iran War Powers Resolution. Happy birthday to Karen Renucci. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
This is Canada.
On Tuesday, July 1st, WUSB will be celebrating Canada Day with 24 hours of pure Canadian content. So tune in all day on July 1st for Canada Day on WUSB, Stony Brook. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is off the wall. Going to start a little early on the promo because we're starting late on the clock. It's been that kind of a day. You know, it's 150 degrees outside, so we can be forgiven for being a little slow. Welcome, Kyle.
Yes, I'm bearing witness.
And I'm Emmanuel, in case I didn't say that.
Hi, Emmanuel.
It's so hot. It really is so hot. Wow. Did you hear that thing, though, right before this? We're preempted next week because of this Canada Day thing.
Yeah, I've heard about this program. It's pretty interesting. I'm still learning about it, but it basically is like what I think is a day of Canadian music.
It's 24 solid hours, beginning at midnight and ending at the next midnight. So midnight, Monday night, Tuesday morning, we begin with 3 hours of Canadian hip-hop. And it goes all through the day, all through the night, up until the end of Tuesday night next week, when I believe there'll be 2 hours of Canadian punk that we'll be finishing with. But next week, yes, you won't hear Off the Wall. What you will hear, though, is me still doing a special on the music of Newfoundland. Yeah, you didn't see that coming, did you? Okay, well, that's what's happening. And all kinds of surprises. If you go to WUSB.FM, you'll even see our schedule there for next Tuesday. So that's a lot of fun.
How does a radio station even do that? Can we do this?
Can I just say, you ask how a radio station can do this. WUSB can do anything. You know, all we have to do is put our minds to it. And the amount of support for this idea came up a couple of months ago. Hey, you know, it's a good idea to maybe celebrate Canada Day this year. It's always on July 1st. Because Canada's been getting kind of, you know, the shaft lately and being treated badly by the U.S., so why not celebrate our neighbors to the north? I don't mean to get loud with the music, but it's getting emotional. But they're such good neighbors. They have such diversity, such incredible music and culture and sports and, well, everything, you know? So why not celebrate that for one day? And the amount of support at this radio station for that idea is just incredible. And it's true of so many ideas that come up here. That's That's why I've stuck around so long, because it's such a healthy environment. And, yeah, I mean, if you're involved, if you're lucky enough to be involved in this place, come up with ideas, and you'll see that people will support them to fruition. So Canada Day, a week from today.
I know I'm good at it, but I've been playing dumb. I actually did see this idea emerge, and just the interest, people, producers, community members, just basically coalescing around this idea. It's been kind of incredible. So really a big thanks to everybody that got excited about it, that saw like, yeah, why not? Well, of course we could do this. And actually show off the skill, the acumen in coming up with something thematic in a place that specializes in stuff that's not typical, not top 40, not sort of approved by wider society, and will, I think, enrich in people's lives, will make us better for it, listening to that during a day that is to celebrate that place.
And, you know, all I said about how amazing Canada is, I mean the same thing about WUSB, because we have people here who have such talent, such knowledge, and combining the two, having somebody, you know, do a special on, say, you know, prog rock from French Canada. You know, that's the kind of thing you don't hear on commercial radio or even non-commercial radio. Only WUSB and, of course, Canadian stations.
It's that kind of thing where it's like a mental exercise. It's like a puzzle. But the people that produce ordinarily are already challenging themselves, pushing the bounds of what you can put through the airwaves and put out into people's worlds. So they basically just adapt what they already do so well to this theme. And that's been, I think, the true beauty of seeing this actually turn into an event, a thing here at the radio station, as we do with many other kinds of traditions and celebrations throughout the year. But this one might just catch on. It's unique, it's interesting, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun to listen to.
Well, it's only going to be one day, so if it catches on, it's going to extinguish pretty quickly. 24 hours, July 1st, and that's it. Spread the word, you know, especially if you know people in Canada. We'd all love to hear their reactions, and know that they have friends here, many friends, and that we'll see better days. We will.
And many people who are Canadian, who are in the States, people that have migrated here also, I think, will have a smile on their face, feel welcome, and feel the spirit of the day.
And, you know, concerning the Newfoundland thing that I'm involved with, you know, I just love the music from Newfoundland. It's Celtic music for the most part. There's quite a bit of variety, but a lot of it has to do with seafaring and fishing and just basically a lot of pride in the land that they live, and Newfoundland has quite a history, but it's one part of Canada. There are so many diverse parts. There's the North, the Inuit communities, and French Canada, and the Maritimes, and the West. It just goes on, and they celebrate their differences, I think, more than we do here, and I wish we did that more. So maybe we can learn from that. One thing that people were asking about is, what is that noise at the beginning of the promo? I'm going to play it now. That is what's known as an interval signal. It used to be used on shortwave radio, and every country had its own. And that, of course, is the O Canada tune, I guess. What do you call that? Melody? You know, that's how you would know that the Canadian radio station, Radio Canada International, would be about to sign on. They would play that over and over again. So it's something some people might remember, some people might be hearing for the first time, but it's pretty damn catchy, and you're going to be hearing it a lot in the next week or so. So, yeah, that's what's happening. The other thing that's happening is heat. It's hot. It's really hot in here. I'm kind of glad we had a late start, because we didn't have to go into this oven. But you can't put an air conditioner on, because you put the air conditioner on, then it just makes all the noise, and you don't hear us. Which I know some people have expressed an interest in that, but it's good for music shows. It's not necessarily good for talking shows. So, and going outside doesn't help either.
We're willing to make the sacrifice, though. And I did go outside. I actually exercised in this weather, and I suggest everyone be very careful.
Kyle, I admire you tremendously.
Oh,
and,
thank you.
And you are one of the best cyclists I know. You love hills. You love mountains. You do things that I never could have done. But to go out on a day like this, in the middle of the day, where it's flirting with 100 degrees Fahrenheit, I don't know. I kind of question the wisdom of that. I wonder if that is perhaps the best thing to do. And maybe you should do this closer to the evening. And I'm thinking, you know, what kind of example might you be setting for other people out there that say, hey, if Kyle can do it, I can do it. But then, yeah, 75 years old, you can't necessarily do that. I'm talking to the fictitious person that thinks that they can do it, too. You know, maybe you could give some advice to people who are thinking about this.
Well, I would say you're stronger than you think, but it is inadvisable for people.
Not everybody is.
If you're in a sensitive group, that is something that has been circulated widely. I'll reiterate that. If you're working outside or you're working out outside, please observe all the guidelines. Use sunscreen. Find shade. Take breaks. Drink at least 8 ounces of water, a cup of water. If it's high-intensity activity every 15 to 20 minutes, I did not do that, but I was prepared to quit and run in and grab some water that I had waiting for me. So that disclaimer aside, I rode my bicycle a lot in inclement weather, in snow, in, you know, commuting, really torturing myself, in rain, like all weather, being from the Pacific Northwest. So that kind of climate was... I'm sort of used to that. Like, I can scoff at the rain, and it's miserable. You get terribly soaked. It's uncomfortable. It chills you to the bone. So doing the opposite these days, like riding in nice weather and sunshine in the heat.
This is not nice weather. I just want to point that out.
Nicer than freezing cold weather? It's okay, it's a different sort of challenge. I do like challenging myself a little bit. So, okay, yeah, it's not nice per se, but... I found trails in the shade areas to be where I'm not in direct sunlight. Every time I went into direct sunlight, I absolutely felt it, like, especially on pavement, paved areas where the sun is beating down. It is wildly, like, intense. Just, I don't have enough adjectives to talk about how hot it is in those areas. But if you keep moving, you are actually well suited. Your body attunes and does things like sweat and all of that. So I felt pretty good initially. Also, my breath, like other days, I think like people with lawn equipment and all that stuff, it can kind of aggravate you and irritate the air quality. I feel like everybody was indoors because it was so hot. So a lot of that activity was not present, had subsided, and no one else was on the road. So there was a freeing sense in taking advantage of what was unbearable for others and putting myself up to that challenge and kind of sweating it out a little bit. I kind of wanted to do that and timed myself well. Actually went a little longer than I thought normally. So it's you know, it's personal preference and, you know, checking in with yourself. I was definitely slowing down a little towards the end, even though I was out there longer, and feeling the beginnings of what can become heat stroke. So you can really stress yourself and be disoriented and faint very quickly.
Yes.
If you do not seek respite and change your environment.
Yeah, there's no reason to push yourself past what you're comfortable with. And that goes for walking, too. I took a good walk yesterday, but I didn't walk fast. I went nice and slowly, and I enjoyed it. You know, it was fine. As long as you don't push yourself, and I speak to people in the city as well, because as bad as it is out here, it's even worse when it's concrete and asphalt everywhere. There's no need to rush. There's no need to sweat overly. Take your time and, realize that there are countries where this is normal every single day. I don't understand how that's possible, but yeah, you know, you can change. Humans can adapt. You can live in the far north where it's, you know, under freezing most of the time. You can live on the equator where it's super hot. The important thing is that, we adapt and we don't push ourselves too much, but we also don't cut ourselves off from experiencing things.
Absolutely. I'm with that. And I was definitely doing that with my own physiology. Speaking of physiology, I don't know what this is, what it is about it, but it seems like I sweat more when I stop moving. I think when you're actually active, you have like a little bit of a breeze and all of that. But as soon as I stopped and came in indoors, had a little water, your body's still protecting itself. And I think I went through a change of shirts and, you know, it took a while to actually be somewhat dry. And I still feel like I'm a bit balmy, a bit clammy from the heat. But I think that's just being indoors, not having the fan blowing. And yeah, so.
Well, sweat actually makes you feel cooler. I mean,
it does.
One of the amazing things about our bodies that, you know, basically compensates. Now, dogs, they don't get this. They pant. They don't sweat.
I'm theorizing that when you're moving, like, on a form of transportation that's five times more efficient than walking, ergo the breeze. Your body attunes, doesn't need as much, but then when you stop moving and your body temperature is still up there, but you have no breeze, no counter, nothing to actively cool you, you're just still, I think you start really, like the floodgates open because your body's compensating for that lack of airflow. I don't know what it is, but it's pretty amazing to see how your cells adapt and deal with this kind of stuff. But definitely, everyone be careful out there. This stuff is going to come back, this heat dome, and watch the weather reports and pay attention to all those advisories. That's all.
Look out for others, too, because other people might not be thinking it through as well as you are. Check in on people who might be inside without air conditioning. You know, there are a number of people. Air conditioners break down. People lose power. Or they just lapse into comas. You know, all sorts of things are possible in this kind of really oppressive condition. Today in Central Park here, you know, it's I don't really know what the high is around here. It's in the, I think, mid-90s. I saw 34 Celsius. That's as high as it got on the thermometer I was looking at. But I'm going to talk in Fahrenheit now because that's what all the news stories I'm looking at are in.
Go for it.
Today in Central Park, it reached 97 degrees. And doing that, there's a lot of facts and figures here, but doing that means that Central Park surpassed a record for the date, meaning today, June 24th, that had stood since 1888. This is the hottest of June 24th in Central Park in well over 100 years, 1888, so that's something. The hottest it's ever reached in Central Park, because everybody wants to know that, 106 degrees, and that was on July 9th, 1936. I'm kind of surprised, because I kind of figured all these would be last year or the year before that. You know, we have the impression everything is getting hotter, and it is getting hotter on a climate scale.
The averages are getting hotter.
Yeah, yeah, but the actual peaks, they are far between and sometimes surprising.
Yeah, the incremental and climate change-focused numbers are generally averages or medians. They're not the – and alongside those impacts, you have extreme weather. And so these high temperatures that are for shorter periods but incredibly hot, those are part of the extreme. But it's the overall average we're experiencing that's allowing for more tropical diseases and bugs and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, the bugs. My God. I'm seeing insects I've never seen before. You know, some of them are really scary and big. My God. You know, I have to take pictures and send them into a website to see what these things are. And they're coming inside too for some reason. I guess they want relief from the heat as well. Yeah, insects and heat—they just go together. Okay, so here are some other notable temperatures. I don't know why temperatures are always measured at airports. Who cares? I mean, you shouldn't be standing on a tarmac at an airport. So I don't know why this would affect. But I guess maybe that's where the thermometers are. Newark Liberty International Airport reached 103 degrees today. And that broke the previous record for the date today, June 24th, of 97 degrees. So it broke it by 6 degrees. That was set back in 1966. And it also tied the record for the entire month of June, which was 103 degrees. That was in 2021 that it was last reached. LaGuardia Airport reached 100 degrees, breaking the record of 96 for the date set back in 2013. The record for June is 101. That was set in 1952. And finally, Kennedy International Airport hit 102 degrees, breaking the daily record of 97 set back in 2010. It also surpassed the June record of 99, which was set in 1949. So, yeah, we're seeing some records. You know, they don't have MacArthur here. I guess MacArthur's not big enough to have weather reports. Yeah, but you know what? They're sending kids home. they're sending kids home from school. Well, they did already. It's I imagine they're all home by now. But throughout the day, Long Island schools were closing early or taking other measures to keep students cool on Tuesday. I don't turn on the air conditioner. Do we not have air conditioning in schools? Okay. In Central Islip, all students in kindergarten through eighth grade were being let out early due to the extreme heat and in the best interest of the health and safety of students. Wow. Okay, that's something. Dismissal times ranging from 10:45 a.m. to 12:15 p.m., depending on the school. Actually, wait a minute. It's late June. Kids still in school? Okay. The Patchogue Medford School District was dismissing elementary and middle school students early, including sixth graders. The district posted a message on its website thanking families for their cooperation. What does that mean, thanking you for your cooperation? Does that mean you're commanded to come down to the school and get your kid? Well, what if you have to work all day? You know, what if you're not there? What if you're on vacation?
Well, that is exactly why they're thanking them, so that they're not being blamed for the disruption of whatever schedule parents have to have. And I think as far as dismissal, younger students are still in school. The older kids had graduation for various stages, and I think they end up finishing their year earlier, and then maybe in the next couple weeks, elementary and younger grade levels will finish. I don't know that, but unless it's summer school, I can't think of a reason why.
What kind of kindergarten do we go to summer school? You fail kindergarten?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that is what they're talking about. I think it's just grades that have not completed their year yet, and they're not graduating per se.
This is like the latest I can imagine school ending for anyone.
That is pretty late.
In some parts of the country, it ends in May.
Well, I know, but I'm thinking, but generally that's like people that are matriculating, going into higher education, like a senior year, you would end a little early and then have graduation ceremonies and stuff like that.
Yeah, toddlers aren't concerned
but
with this.
But that's not the case. And in a lot of ways, those preschool and early year early learning years.
You need some summer school there?
It's very hot. I need some water. Those years are also have a dual purpose of being a form of child care. I mean, they're engaged and there's activities and it's a smoother transition for parents that are ultimately working throughout the summer to transition them into summer programs and activities that also will provide caretaking roles. That's just my outsider opinion, though. I don't really know.
Well, get this. Many classrooms and schools across Long Island lack air conditioning. Wow. You know, I don't remember air conditioning in school.
No, because they have like central systems that pump.
I don't remember that either.
Like steam or
I remember opening the windows when it got hot, but that's it.
Yeah, it's like boilers and like the older systems, I don't think they run coolant in the same ways. Even if it's like radiant, it's not like forced air conditioning.
According to the director of the Nassau-Suffolk School Boards Association, Robert Vecchio, schools have always had plans for hot days in June and hot days in September, including the use of misting fans and moving classes to cooler parts of the building. But that's it. That's all they have. And I guess it kind of makes sense if June and September are the only months you have to worry about, basically installing all this expensive air conditioning equipment.
Well, if you barely pay your teachers, how are you going to have money for upgrading buildings?
That's true.
Like,
that's true.
The constant war drum to defund public education until it's nascent and, you know, it's like a shadow of itself. How could you possibly expect them to have anything other than, like, buckets of water?
He goes on to say adding air conditioning can be very expensive and very complicated due to the size and age of buildings. Without voter approval for massive investments in cooling systems, some schools can have loss of instructional time.
Did I stutter?
Yeah. Well, anyway, the good news is it's getting better. The actual danger part, I think, ends right after we get off the air, I think at 8 p.m. Well, we're off at 7. So we have 1 hour of misery, and then things start to get a little bit more reasonable. Tomorrow's going to be hot, too, but Thursday, it's going to be in the 70s, so enjoy that. That's going to be fun. Some late-breaking news that you probably haven't heard of anywhere else, because I don't think anyone else has this app. I have the Suffolk County Ice Tracker, and I recommend tracking down that app and downloading it and putting it on your phone. Go to islipforward.org. Why can't I say this? ISLIP, ISLIP, forward, FORWARD.org. And you can download this app, and basically it tells you if there were ice raids anywhere on Long Island. And today, there was an ice raid in Port Jefferson Station. Yeah, 1521 Main Street, Port Jefferson Station. There's just a picture on here. 9:15 a.m. it took place. If more people get this, they can be witness to it. They can take pictures. They can make sure people aren't being mistreated.
Yeah, that is right in the backyard of the campus here in Stony Brook, and it is really kind of surprising. I agree. If more people had this kind of information, more people could bear witness and at least be there, at least capture some aspect of it so word can get out, so others in the community can be aware. I would say, as you did this afternoon in checking and just now, I think inserting it and making people aware, letting people know as soon as you find an alert that is in your proximity, share that information. Even if it's changing the subject of conversation, it's important.
Well, I found out 8 hours after it happened, unfortunately, but I was sleeping late. But someday it'll happen while I'm awake, and I can head over and take pictures or just witness the whole thing.
Yeah, it's the example that counts.
Mm-hmm. Agents in unmarked vehicles seen on Main Street. Again, 1521 Main Street, Port Jefferson Station. And this is happening all over the country, and it's disgusting. No matter what you believe, as far as undocumented and immigration in this country, this specter of having masked people, unidentified, just grabbing people off the streets, throwing them in a van and driving off, that is what they are doing. And go on to YouTube and you will find dozens, if not hundreds, of newscasts where you can see the shock in the anchors when they're reporting these stories, because this is not our country. This is not what the United States was supposed to be about. Sure, it's been about all kinds of bad things over the years, centuries, but this is happening right now, and we are seeing it in front of us. And whether it's California, Illinois, Massachusetts, or right here on Long Island, the same ugliness is playing out, and the story is always the same. It's always these people swoop down on somebody who's either working hard cutting somebody's lawn, working in a kitchen of a restaurant, or going to court to pursue their immigration status. These thugs wait for them or simply barge in and grab them, and sometimes physically abuse them. I saw a story today where someone's father was beaten up by these people because he dared to run away or try to run away with a leaf blower in his hand. It's
a weed whacker.
A weed whacker.
But he was being beat in the head. Like, it looked like UFC, where they like do these like rapid blows to the head.
This is real.
Yeah, this is for real. I don't know where that, like, that is unprofessional. I think that was what some of the reporting interview with his son, that was the way he described it. And
his son, a Marine.
Yeah, that's a tame way of putting it.
A damn Marine, you know, and that's how his father is treated. Because he's undocumented. And, these are not people who are committing crimes, unless you consider their existence to be a crime. These are not people who are violent. You know, when Trump got into power, or before he got into power, he said he was going after the criminals. And not many people had a problem with that. You know, people who are violent, people who are a threat to society. That's not where the priority is. It seems like they're almost avoiding those people and going for the most vulnerable, the most innocent, mothers of children.
Well, they know those criminals shoot back.
Yeah, probably. But
they, I mean, let's be real. They're abusing people they know they can abuse with the lowest possible risk. And I think, if they were really putting that energy into the people that deserve that level of aggression, they would be putting themselves at greater risk. And it, to me, kind of speaks volumes about their cowardice in that role.
Well, you know,
they want all the honor of fighting bad guys, but they're not actually taking the kinds of risks to actually go after people that deserve this kind of tactic.
If they think that because there are people out there who are criminals, that they're all criminals. Well, that's the danger right there. When you start making assumptions about people simply based on where they're from or their status in life or anything like that, that is so dangerous, so just bad for everybody. So, definitely get this app. There's probably one for the area that you're in as well.
Start monitoring this stuff and coordinate.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in a community, you're at risk, you need to start moving around in groups with convoys in exactly the same way as they are.
Now, don't engage these people.
No.
The ICE people I'm talking about, because they are dangerous. But document everything they do. Keep a distance. I think 10 feet is advised. Get their plates. Get whatever ID you can. Take as many pictures or videos. And every action that they engage in, they must be held accountable to or for. And this is something that we as citizens are obligated to do. This is how we save the country from falling into total hell. So, this morning, Port Jefferson Station, June 21st, out in Flanders, which is by Riverhead, several agents seen at the USA gas station in Flanders by Long Neck Boulevard. That took place at 7:30 a.m. June 20th, 10:45 a.m. in Huntington. Agents caught staging in the morning, seen making a targeted house visit. That's in Huntington Station. And there's a history of all the actions that have been witnessed so far. But there's probably more. There's probably more that's not being documented. The more people get the app, the more accurate it will be. And again, find apps for your area. If you find an app, let us know. We will spread the word and tell people about it. Okay, we have some listener mail somewhere, if I can find it. Oh, here it is. Remember the letter from last week where somebody said that we were criticizing Governor Gavin Newsom from California. And we couldn't remember for the life of us saying something critical about him. And we were wondering if maybe they had the wrong station or we were, just speaking in tongues and not even remembering what we were saying. Well, we have a follow-up letter. Guys, my deepest apologies. I didn't connect that it was a quote last week about Newsom and not your opinion. So not last week's show, the show before that, which I guess would be the 10th. I'm very sorry for not listening. This is at 39 minutes and 20 seconds. I'm very sorry for not listening as closely as I should have before writing and accusing. Rather than going back and fully listening, I read the transcript. We have a transcript? How do we have a transcript? Who's doing our transcripts? Okay, well, I like that idea. If somebody sends us a link to our transcripts, we'll put it on our website.
Yeah, it's probably speech to text, like they made a transcript, but it's unclear.
Do you think artificial intelligence has taken it upon itself to go out and make transcripts of all of our radio shows?
I do not for one second doubt that has been done mm-hmm. individually, privately, and or been done on a wider scale with absolutely everything we've ever said. And there's probably models, private models, that have been trained on all of our words.
You mean, we're not talking about radio anymore. We're talking about our words, period. Every conversation we have is being...
I'm talking about the radio program.
Oh, okay, all right.
Specifically our radio programs and other talk shows, maybe like, commercial talk shows as well. Uh-huh. But I could definitely see people querying them, asking certain things about what kinds of things would Emmanuel say, and it's totally possible.
Well, it's good to make sure that I never contradict myself.
We could do this.
Yes.
Like we've like all the tools to do it, probably on a mid crappy smartphone. Wow. Like, the worst one we have could probably do it if we had the right tools set up and data.
Anyway, rather than going back and fully listening, I read the transcript, which was highly misleading and unacceptably lazy on my part. I hope you can accept my apology here. Of course, Dave, we accept your apology. It got us thinking anyway. Thank you both for continuing to do what you do and out yourselves as risk for speaking out against this regime. That's... We feel obligated to speak our minds.
And I think, a lot of what we say is fairly tame. Mm-hmm. We want to be approachable. We are open to being wrong. And we very often get impassioned and emotional. Like, you talked about us slipping further into hell. I'm actually present to life itself being both a sort of heaven but also a hell, like, at the same time. And how you look at it, how you approach it, you can experience it in either of those ways, and maybe some blend of those ways. But this is a certain hell that we are experiencing, this era, for some people. For others, it's a utopia. But it is hard sometimes to use the right words, dare I say, even to comply with FCC language rules. But we do our best, and we really want to serve people that get something out of listening. We're human, too. I don't always have it in the tank. I'm very patient with myself, and sometimes I do enjoy just bearing witness, as I said, and as I have in recent shows. But we do appreciate when people are listening enough to get mad at something they thought we said, because we know you care, you're feeling, you're human as well. And it means a lot to us that people would want to correct us because what we're saying is uncharacteristic or cruel, or what they think we're saying is that. We won't always get it right, but we really try to speak from the heart and keep the humanity at the forefront of the kinds of conversations we're having here, and reserve our scathing words for the people that absolutely deserve it.
Yes. Well, we have another letter. This is from Kaylee. And this is referring to, I think, last week's show. You mentioned at 39:36. Well, everyone's quoting times now, and this time is remarkably similar to the last time. That was 39:20. This is 39:36. Not the same show. We couldn't have changed topics in 16 seconds. But, okay, you mentioned at 39:36 that Iran was developing a nuclear weapon. Where did you see proof that Iran was making nuclear weapons? It's my understanding this is disputed with no empirical evidence to support the claim. It's giving Iraq WMD nostalgia.
I love the way they put that.
By the way, I went to the local No Kings protest near me, and it literally brought a tear to my eye. Maybe it's not too late. Yes, you know, Kayla, I think we were just quoting what was being reported on the news. Obviously, we take everything with a big grain of salt, and I don't believe anything we're told. And, you know, this whole thing about Iran being close to a nuclear weapon has been reported now, I think, for decades, and it never seems to get any closer. And from what I understand, this whole bombing thing that the U.S. did, oh, yeah, I didn't mention this, the U.S. bombed Iran. That whole thing took place on Saturday, supposedly obliterating the nuclear program. But now I understand that's not necessarily what happened. What did you hear today, Kyle, that it was actually just
there's
set back a little bit?
Yeah, there's a leaked, classified characterization of how things went. There hasn't been an official public release. Although in the press conference, apart from Pete Hegseth, the Joint Chiefs Chairman was a little bit more cautious about the results, talked about the intentions of this. But anyway, an anonymous or sources that were unnamed in the Times stated that the entrances had been obliterated, but the internal facility, the hall where these 3,000 or however many centrifuges were thought to be kept, were not, in fact, obliterated. But this is a preliminary leaked classified assessment. And the article went on to talk about how a lot of the material that had been reprocessed there had already been moved. and this is like 60% or whatever, not quite weapons grade. And it talked about the theorization or the ideas around these kinds of larger facilities is that you would also have smaller facilities. And the logic extended out that perhaps some of that fuel could be used maybe not to produce 9 or 10 or a lot of weapons, but could be used to produce a smaller weapon in a smaller facility that could get the uranium, I believe, up to 90% or weapons grade, and then create a more crude or smaller weapon that could be used as a dirty or otherwise lower impact nuclear weapon. That's, of course, giving the Iranians a lot of credit for having the will to detonate something like that. But presumably, if they're acquiescing or their agreement to ceasefire, which is itself tenuous, that has sort of changed, and apparently Trump's big mad about it right now because both Israel and Iran have already violated something that's less than a day old. But I'm thinking, like, okay, if you're Iran, like, yeah, maybe you want to negotiate, but only to buy time. And the gist of the article was that the low end of what this, if this larger facility would have been destroyed, would have set them back 6 months on the low end or a couple years on the high end. Of course, the administration's saying it's many years because of the success and all their thanks to the B-2 pilots and all, you know, they have to kind of maximize the result of their action because they didn't go to Congress and they're essentially escalating to World War III or whatever, given Russia and other sympathizers to Iran. So all of that kind of, as a background, it seems to me that the entrances being closed to this facility only set them back, what this article said, was like 3 months. And initially they were only 3 months away, if you're to believe other assessments. I don't know if those are the Defense Intelligence Agency assessments, but all said and done, this whole incident that cost billions of dollars probably – what they're saying only set the Fordo site back like 6 months.
Wow.
And ultimately, if I'm imagining it, like if you get attacked and like this whole attack really just substantiates the will that Iran might have that, like, yeah, we need a deterrence. We need an ultimate hardcore big boy world stage deterrence against Israel, against the US, against people that want to see death to Iran in kind. So to my mind, like, what, why would they stop? Even if they say we don't know,
right?
But why would we be surprised if in 6 months we see like nice little rocket tests a la North Korea?
Well,
I mean,
there's a reason why we don't bomb North Korea, because they already reached that stage.
Iran has not displayed that.
Right.
They've not displayed the package, the carrier modality to actually send a warhead. They've got designs on refining what would become a warhead, but the delivery package has not been displayed. Once that happens, once they show acumen, and they already have a pretty healthy drone and other like weapons industry, they're not nothing out there. And if they have other clandestine spots where they were able to refine further in the interim, these larger facilities be damned, then, like, yeah, it's going to be a little harder than this was sold.
Yes. Well, I kind of like seeing Trump get mad at Israel today. He used a swear. He really did. And that's something you don't see very often. I kind of like seeing his base revolting against him, saying, don't get us into another war. I kind of like basically people just settling down and saying, okay, enough of this. Let's move on. Let's not start another war. That said, just about everything else that is coming out of his mouth is nonsense. We don't have time to get into that because we are almost out of time. And we have to promote this one more time.
This is Canada.
American woman!
On Tuesday, July 1st, WUSB will be celebrating Canada Day with 24 hours of pure Canadian content. So tune in all day on July 1st for Canada Day on WUSB, Stony Brook. Oh, yeah. And again, we're preempted next week. We won't be on. In our place, will be a two-hour retrospective of music from Newfoundland. But the whole day will be filled with all kinds of Canadian content from midnight on Tuesday morning to midnight on Tuesday night. And it's going to be a blast. Canada Day, July 1st. Okay, to sum up before we have to get out of here, the State Education Department has denied the Massapequa School District's request for an extension to comply with a ban on Native American mascots. Yeah, Massapequa, what are you doing? Why can't you just stop offending Native Americans? For God's sake, they've said very directly they're offended by this. All right, having an Indian chief with like full headdress, that's not right. The district's extension request reveals that nothing whatsoever has been done to eliminate the use of the chief's name, logo, or mascot, said state officials. Indeed, at times, the district has suggested that it has no intention of complying with these regulations. They even had a fundraiser recently. They raised $10,000 for the legal fight against the mascot ban. Not raising money to change the mascot, but to fight this.
Yeah, like what is the most costly part of the change? If they have a giant logo with a headdress on their football
field
or something, they should be raising money for that.
Yeah, it's everybody else has pretty much complied with this. Wyandanch, Wanta, Kanaquat, they've challenged the mandate in federal court seeking to either keep their names or nullify the state regulation. They filed appeals. The Massapequa District, whose mascot is a Native American in a headdress, has filed an amended complaint. Now, Wyandanch announced last week they've changed their name from the Warriors to the Wolves and said that it was taking steps to choose a new mascot design.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, that's not hard.
Wolves are fierce.
Deadline extensions have been granted to Wanta and Kanaquat. Wanta was given an additional year to comply with the mandate, while Kanaquat's deadline was extended to, I guess, March 1st of next year. But the Massapequa, for some reason, they are holding on to this. And again, their mascot is a Native American in a headdress, and they somehow feel that is not offensive, despite what Native Americans say. Now, this is an interesting twist. The U.S. Department of Education, you might have heard of them. The Secretary of Education, even though they're trying to disband this whole organization, and she's the leader of that, trying to disband the organization she's ahead of, they visited Massapequa High School, home of the Massapequa Chiefs, to announce that the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights has concluded its investigation into the New York Department of Education and the New York State Board of Regents and determined that the board has violated Title VI of the Civil Rights Act by banning the use of Native American mascots and logos by school districts in the state of New York. Now, that sounds crazy, and it is crazy, because basically this U.S. Department of Education is not the Department of Education anymore. They are anti-Department of Education. They're trying to shut down the agency. And their civil rights department has very little to do with civil rights anymore either, but they're using the name. Listen to this. This is from U.S. Secretary of Education Linda McMahon. The Trump administration will not stand idly by as state leaders attempt to eliminate the history and culture of Native American tribes. That is how they are spinning this. The fact that school districts on Long Island are putting forth offensive imagery of Native Americans, ignoring the pleas of Native Americans to stop doing this, that to them is eliminating the history and culture, not offending them, not having offensive imagery is eliminating their culture.
Unbelievable. Rather than focus on learning outcomes, the New York Department of Education and Board of Regents has set its sights on erasing Massapequa's history while turning a blind eye to other districts' mascots that are derived from or connected to other racial or ethnic groups. I'd love to hear the examples they come up with. We will stand with the people of Massapequa until common sense is restored and justice is served, and until New York comes into compliance with federal law. Oh, my God. And
I'm so scared.
Of course, local fascist Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman welcomed this. Secretary McMahon has distinguished herself both in the private and public sectors as a true leader of an organization she's trying to disband. As Education Secretary, she continues to embrace innovative programs to better educate our children and to advocate for more parental inclusion and decisions regarding the education of our kids. We are delighted to welcome her to Nassau County and grateful for her leadership in uplifting the rich culture and history of Massapequa. This is just shameful that they are engaging in this farce and pretending that racism is part of the victim's culture and needs to be preserved. No one's talking about erasing history. By all means, the history needs to be preserved. I believe it's these people that are trying to erase the history by saying we criticize the United States too much and we can't do that anymore. So they are literally erasing history by saying, stop criticizing the U.S. Stop saying slavery was bad. You know, stop making us look negative. Instead, you know, instead of moving forward, they literally want to move backwards. And it's sad. If you live in Massapequa, please speak out. Please stand up. Show them they don't represent you, because it's a stain. It's a stain on the entire region's image. And the rest of the island, I think, has gotten it for the most part. It's not hard to stop being offensive. I mean, the Cleveland Indians were able to do that. The Washington Redskins. I mean, when you look back on it now, it seems so absurd and offensive that there was a team called the Redskins that was named after Native Americans.
Well, and come up with a better one that's sort of irresistible and petition for it. Mm-hmm. Say, like, this is what it should be. This is from the people, from the community. Consult with the people that are complaining about the current mascot and make it so it's so good that it's just they can't refuse it. Like, it's just it makes no sense to not take this as an opportunity to rebrand a little bit. I don't know. Just to have such a an allegiance to your own like imagery and iconography is, I think, a sort of inflexibility. And you're missing an opportunity to actually teach that, you know, growth and change and evolution is possible, even for an institution such as a school.
Can I tell you a quick story? You know, the Stony Brook Seawolves were not always known as the Stony Brook Seawolves. That's right. The team before the Stony Brook Seawolves was controversially known as the Stony Brook Patriots. Now, who does that offend? Well, it offended my old high school, Ward Melville, because their team was also called the Patriots. So it made for some confusion. Hey, it's a high school team, the same as the college team. And, you know, they just changed. They changed from the Patriots to the Seawolves. And it didn't bankrupt the place, and everyone got through it. It wasn't traumatic at all. I maintain the same thing is possible with if your name is the Chiefs or the Redskins or the Indians or something like that. You can change. You can evolve. You can be better than you have been in the past. And if you cling to this too hard, well, that sure sends the message that you haven't gotten any better. In fact, you're probably getting a whole lot worse. We are out of time. OTW@2600.com is our email address. Again, we're not on next week due to Canada Day, but tune in for the 24 hours of specials. And I haven't pulled this song out in a very long time.
Why? Maybe we'll leave that Tony, I know. Because it's too hot.
It's too hot. And this is the song you play when it's too hot. We'll see you next week. Good night, everyone.
See ya.
Oh, yeah, and stay cool. And you can take that two ways.
Too hot. This town is too hot. Now they're calling for their guns. About to sell their goodbye sons. But
Out there.